Proverbs 11, and we're going to be skipping around the chapter because there's this theme of righteousness and wickedness in Proverbs chapter 11, and so I've paired those all together, and so we'll be looking at Proverbs 11, 5 and 6, verse 8, verses 18 through 19, verse 21, verse 23, and verse 31. Proverbs 11, beginning in verse 5. The righteousness of the blameless keeps his way straight, but the wicked falls by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the treacherous are taken captive by their lust. And then skip to verse 8. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and the wicked walks into it instead. In verse 18. The wicked earns deceptive wages, but one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. Whoever is steadfast in righteousness will live, but he who pursues evil will die. In verse 21, be assured, an evil person will not go unpunished, but the offspring of the righteous will be delivered. Verse 23, the desire of the righteous ends only in good, the expectation of the wicked in wrath. And finally, verse 31. If the righteous is repaid on earth, how much more the wicked and the sinner? Let's pray and ask God's help. Father, we thank you for your truth and your word. Lord, there's so much to learn in the book of Proverbs. So excited to be in this book, Lord. And God, we pray as we come back again to this book, Lord, that you would enliven your words by your Spirit, that you would strengthen us, God. We pray that we would hear from you today and we would be truly challenged, Father, in ways that we may not be living a righteous life, that we would grow in righteousness. And God, maybe there are some here today who aren't righteous, who are actually wicked, and we pray they would be saved for the glory of your name. And so, God, work in all of us and help us see you. We pray Jesus would be lifted up and you would draw all men to yourself. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, there are now over 7 billion people on earth. Over 7 billion people in this world. 1.75 billion of them have never heard about Jesus. And all of these, more than 7 billion people, are in one of two categories. That's it. God views the world through these categories. And all 7 billion fall in one of these two categories. Either righteous or wicked. Righteous or wicked. The goats, the wicked, or the sheep, as we see in Matthew 25 when Jesus divides, right? The sheep and the goats. Everyone will fall in those two categories, either righteous or wicked. And the statement of faith that we have at this church addresses this truth. Paragraph number 17 is titled, Of the Righteous and the Wicked, and it says this, we believe that there is a radical and essential difference between the righteous and the wicked. That such only as through faith are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and sanctified by the Spirit of our God are truly righteous in His esteem. While all such as continue in impenitence, rebellion against God, unwillingness to trust and follow Him, and unbelief are in His sight wicked and under the curse. And this distinction holds among men both in and after death. Friend, everyone in this room this morning is in one of those two categories. Righteous or wicked. And you can fool the preacher. You can fool the preacher. You can fool the church leadership. You can fool one another about being righteous or wicked. But friend, you cannot fool God. You cannot fool God. He knows. He knows your every thought. He knows your every word from the first word you ever spoke. He knows it in the past. He knows it in the present. And He knows it in the future. He knows your heart. Where are you this morning? Where are you this morning? Are you righteous? Are you wicked? Maybe you're here this morning and you just flat out know you're wicked. You know you're not a Christian. You know you're not a believer, but you had interest. And what's going on? What do these Christians believe? And if you're here, we're glad that you're here. We want you to come and hear what we believe. We love you. And if that's you this morning and you know you're wicked, we're glad that you're here. We love the wicked. We love wicked people. We were once wicked. I was once one of the wicked ones. And then God showed up and did something. And what did God do? Well, He showed me, and if you're here as a righteous person, He showed you the good news of the gospel. And so friend, there's a message that we proclaim week after week at this church that is used of God to bring you from being wicked to being righteous. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That God so loved the wicked world that He's angry about the wickedness of the world. He's angry. The Bible says He's angry with the wicked every day. His heart burns with anger and fury and vengeance against the wicked. Because He's good and He's righteous and He's holy. But He loves the wicked. Even though His heart burns with anger toward the wicked, He loves the wicked, and so He designed a plan to save the wicked from His own wrath. His love compelled Him to do this, and so He sent His Son Jesus into the world. Jesus came into this wicked, rebellious, sinful world, and Jesus obeyed His Father perfectly. He was the righteous one, the preeminent righteous one who never sinned. And He obeyed the law. He loved God. He loved His neighbor. And yet He died. He took the punishment of the wicked. The wicked deserve death. Not only temporal death in this life, but the wicked deserve eternal death because of sin. And Jesus took the place of the wicked on the cross. He was the substitute. He took the place of the wicked and died. He suffered the curse, the wrath, the judgment of God was all poured out on Jesus on the cross. Yes. Yes. Woo! So you don't face it. You don't face the wrath of God. And then God raised Him up on the third day. And now He calls out to everyone everywhere. If you know yourself to be wicked today, turn from your evil. Turn from your wickedness. Turn from your sin. Believe in Christ and He will save you. He will forgive you of all your sins. He will forgive you of having sex outside of marriage. Yes, that's a sin that God hates. But if you repent of your sins and believe in Him, He will forgive you of that sin. He will forgive you of paying a doctor to murder your own child. Women or men in here who've paid for an abortion, that's murder. God saves from murder. Jesus died on the cross to save murderers who repent and believe in Jesus Christ. If you're greedy in here, you store up money and hoard it to yourself, you can be forgiven. You're proud. You think you're God's gift to the earth. God can forgive you of your pride and humble you. You're selfish. Children who are disobedient to parents. Oh, God hates it when children are disobedient to parents. It's rebellion against God. Children, God can forgive you for saying no to mommy and daddy and disobeying them. If you repent and believe in Christ, He will deliver you from the wrath to come. Friend, all manner of sins that you can name and think of. Homosexuality. The Bible says men who practice homosexuality will not inherit the kingdom of God. Friend, if you're here this morning and you struggle with homosexuality, God can save you. He can save you and make you righteous because of what Jesus has done. And so that's the good news. that we can be saved, we can be forgiven, we can be made right with God and get on the right side, the righteous side. If this gospel message is new to you, I want to talk to you. I'll be in the back after the service. Come and find me. One of the interns will be up front, hopefully, to talk to you and pray with you about the gospel. Find another member of the church who's a Christian that can tell you the gospel. We want you today to cross that line from being wicked to being righteous. And Father, we just pray now that you would work through the gospel message. We pray, Father, that those who may sit here today and think they're righteous but are really wicked, we pray, God, that you would open their eyes to see their sin. And we pray, Lord, that you would save today for Jesus' sake. We see this righteousness and warning from wickedness talk throughout the Proverbs. And we're going to see it more and more. Righteousness leads to life. Over and over again in the Proverbs, we see that righteousness leads to life and safety and satisfaction and salvation, whereas wickedness leads to death, destruction, despair, and damnation. All throughout the Proverbs, we see righteousness leads to life and safety and satisfaction and salvation, whereas wickedness leads to death and destruction and despair and damnation. Friends, we want to be on the right side. And so I've paired these Proverbs in chapter 11 that talk about righteousness and wickedness. And let's prayerfully look through these and see what God has to teach us about the righteous life. Number one, righteousness keeps your way straight. Righteousness keeps your way straight. Look at Proverbs 11:5. The righteousness of the blameless keeps his way straight. We've already seen talk of walking the straight path in the book of Proverbs. It's probably one of the most famous verses in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. So the straight path, we want to be on the straight path, and righteousness, the righteousness of the blameless, keeps his way straight. The straight path is God's path. The straight path is the path without dangerous obstacles. The straight path ultimately is the path that leads to heaven, that leads to glory. And that is contrasted in the book of Proverbs with the crooked path, which is the path of darkness, the path of evil, the path of sin, and ultimately the path that leads to hell. But notice in the text it says, the righteousness of the blameless keeps his way straight. And we have two glorious gifts of righteousness as Christians that keep us on God's path. We have God's righteousness, and we have our righteousness. Or as Whitfield put it, we have the righteousness without and the righteousness within, and both keep us on the straight path. And you can't have the righteousness within unless you first have the righteousness without. So, first we need God's righteousness. We spoke about this last week. The righteousness without. We read Jeremiah 23:6. In his days, and his is referring to the righteous branch, the Messiah, the one to come, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he, Messiah, will be called the Lord, our righteousness. Remember we sang last week, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. And who is the Lord our righteousness? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness. Jesus is our righteousness. And so those of you who are wicked and you believe in Christ, you're the ungodly, but you believe in Christ. When you believe on him, your sins are forgiven and wiped away. And the very righteousness that Jesus lived out in his years of life on this earth are counted as your righteousness. covers you like a garment, free from condemnation because of the righteousness of Jesus, the righteousness without that covers you and delivers you from the wrath to come. You need that righteousness. You need that righteousness to stay on the straight path. And there's only one way to get it. You can't preach well enough. You can't come to church enough. You can't sing well enough. You can't take communion enough. You can't be a church member long enough. You can't get baptized enough the right way. The only way to receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ is by faith. By faith. By believing on Him. By trusting in Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And some people are deceived into thinking that they're righteous because they do all these things that they think are righteous. I've taught Sunday school for this amount of time. I've been a deacon for this long. I'm a pastor. I got baptized. I walked an aisle, signed a card, and prayed a prayer. Friend, none of those is the way you receive the righteousness of Jesus. Only faith. Believe Him. Trust Him. And you shall be saved. You shall have this righteousness of God that delivers from the wrath to come. And that righteousness will deliver you from the crooked path and put you on the straight path. But you see, we get a double benefit. Because not only do we have the righteousness of Christ without leading us on the straight path, we have the righteousness within. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved, when we trust in Christ alone for salvation, when we turn away from all the good things we've done and all the bad things we've done, and we cling to Jesus alone by faith and are saved, are justified, then the Spirit of God comes and dwells in us and begins to work a righteousness in us that's our righteousness, worked in us by the Holy Spirit. And so God changes our hearts, our minds, and we have our righteousness worked in us by the Spirit of God. God changes us. And our righteousness keeps us on the straight path. That righteousness that God works in us by the Holy Spirit. Friend, the Bible says in Hebrews 12:14. That there is a holiness without which no one will see the Lord. There is a holiness. A holiness that's our holiness. Our righteousness. Our good deeds. Our good works. Yes, empowered by the Spirit of God. But they're ours. And they must be there as evidence that we got God's righteousness. And they will be there if we got God's righteousness. Because He will work them in you. Hebrews 12:14, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Friend, it's this holiness that you have as a Christian that will keep you on the straight path. Some of you tell me about stories about how this righteousness has kept you on the straight path. Going places where you know something's going to happen and you're going to sin against God. So like Joseph, you run away the other way and you stay on the straight path. Because the Spirit of God is in you and you know to flee sexual immorality. You've told me these stories. Praise God. Keep fleeing. Keep fleeing. Keep clinging to Christ. Keep praying that God would grow you in your own righteousness. Jesus' righteousness can't increase. Do you know that? That righteousness that you have in Jesus, it can never increase or decrease. He's at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and it's yours forever if you've trusted Jesus. But that righteousness within, that grows. That will grow until you're dead. You unless you can come up here and tell me I'm just like Jesus. Anybody want to come up here and tell me I'm just like Jesus? If you can't tell me you're just like Jesus, well, that righteousness within is going to keep growing. You're going to be more holy, more righteous, more loving, more humble your whole life until Jesus takes you home and makes you perfect. And so we want to fight to grow in that righteousness that keeps us on the straight path. In contrast to that, the second part of verse 5, the wicked falls by his own wickedness. The wicked falls by his own wickedness. Proverbs 11:5 says, "Your sin will cause you to stumble and fall and ultimately be destroyed." This is a warning. This is a loving warning. Remember, the book of Proverbs was written as a parent's loving collection of wisdom to his son. You see? This is loving. And your Heavenly Father has given you this to lovingly warn you and to help you walk in wisdom and righteousness and godliness. And so we get this warning. But the wicked falls by his own wickedness. Your sin will cause you to fall. No matter how sweet it tastes right now, no matter how great you think it is for you, how great you think it's going for you, your sin will cause you to fall and ultimately will send you to hell. There's a vivid illustration of this in the BBC News article, which I'll read to you. An Israeli couple are preparing to divorce after the man summoned a prostitute to his hotel room, only to discover she was his daughter. The tale of family turmoil began some months ago when the father, a businessman based in the city of Haifa, was sent by his company to a course in the resort of Eilat for 4 days. It's reported the man took advantage of the visit to summon a call girl to his room on his first night there, and that was when everything started to go horribly wrong. As the prostitute entered the room, the full horror for him of discovering his daughter's occupation hit him. The father began feeling chest pains, which may have been a mild heart attack. He then cut short his stay in Eilat and on his return home told his distraught wife the truth of what had happened. She has vowed to track down her daughter and find a more suitable job for her. However, her forgiveness has not extended to her husband, and she has made it clear she wishes to divorce him. The wicked falls by his own wickedness. The wicked falls by his own wickedness. Friend, if you're indulging in some kind of secret wickedness that no one may know about but you, let me again assure you, God knows. God knows. And you will fall. You will fall in this life or in the life to come. And God sent me here this morning to tell you, turn away and live. Turn away and live. Righteousness not only keeps your way straight, but righteousness delivers. Righteousness delivers. Look at verses 6 and 21. The righteousness of the upright delivers them. In verse 21, the offspring of the righteous will be delivered. Again, we're talking about these two righteousnesses, God's righteousness and our righteousness. The righteousness without God's Christ covering us, and the righteousness within, that Holy Spirit wrought righteousness working in us to make us more holy. Friends, God's righteousness delivers you. That's your only deliverer. That's why you shouldn't hope in your measly good deeds that can't deliver from the wrath to come. They will be burnt up. If I'm hoping in the sermons I preach and the bread I give away and these things I do, friend, I am in trouble. Romans 8:1, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." You're in Him. His righteousness covers you like a garment. That righteousness delivers. Not your good deeds. Not your good deeds. Oh, don't hope in your good deeds, church. Be more zealous to do good deeds than anybody on earth, but don't hope in your good deeds. Hope in the righteousness of Jesus. That alone delivers. And there is our righteousness. There is. Who know the righteousness of Christ, who have the righteousness of Christ. That great hymn, "O 4,000 tongues to sing." One line says, "He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the captive free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me." But I love that first line. He breaks the power of canceled sin. You see, Jesus saved us not only from the wrath of God and the condemnation of sin, but He saves us from the power of sin. That we're delivered from the power of sin that we might live a holy life. And our righteousness, wrought by the Holy Spirit, delivers. It delivers you from the crooked path. Delivers you, as I mentioned, from sexual sin. Delivers you from addiction to drugs. Friend, if you keep going back to the drug, you keep going back to it. The drug is your God. The drug is what satisfies you. That feeling you get, that high, that is your God. That is whom you love. That is who has your allegiance. When you come to Christ, for real, He will deliver you from that. He will deliver you from the bondage to that drug and addiction. And some of your problem, if you're addicted and you wonder why you keep going back, it may be because you're not saved. You don't have the righteousness without covering you. And you're living a lie. He will give you a righteousness that delivers from that. The Spirit inside you, you will turn away from lust. Loneliness. You'll turn away from the sin of loneliness. Actually, loneliness is not a sin. Correction. Loneliness is not a sin. But how we respond to it can or can't be. And so those of you who are lonely and you struggle with it every day, you have a Savior who delivers. A favorite prayer of mine has become this from that song that Johnny Erickson Tata sings so beautifully, "Alone but not alone. Alone yet not alone. Lord, help me again today to be alone but not alone." Those of you who are lonely, yeah, you're lonely in some ways, but if you know Christ, if you know God, you're not alone. You're alone, but not alone. You have a great Savior, a great God who says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." You see, God's righteousness within, the Spirit working in you, will push your heart and mind in that direction when you're alone instead of anger toward God because you're lonely. Depression. God's righteousness within, His Spirit, can free you from depression. Cutting, these young people cutting themselves. The righteousness within, knowing Christ and being filled with His Spirit, can deliver you from this cutting, from pride, from racism. So much is in our face and in the media about racism in the country. Friend, what about our own hearts? Are there ways in our own heart that we're holding racist thoughts, racist grudges, that we need the Spirit of God to free us? He can do it. Anger, bitterness, jealousy. The Spirit of God in you can deliver you from all of these, that you don't fall. That you don't fall, but are delivered. This is the good news of the gospel. That it not only saves us from the wrath of God and the condemnation of sin, but saves us from the power of sin. And notice verse 21. The offspring of the righteous will be delivered. Kidner makes this comment, "Offspring will mean more than mere descendants, rather those who show themselves to be of this breed." So the commentator, Derek Kidner, says this isn't necessarily saying your children, your physical descendants, but those of the same breed, those who are righteous like the righteous, they will be delivered. And he cites John 8:44, where Jesus says to the Jews, "You are of your father, the devil." And so they're their same breed. They come from the devil. They're demonic like them. So this would be saying those who are also righteous would be delivered. And I think that's true. But there are also great blessings to those who grow up in righteous homes. Children. Children here this morning who are being brought up in a home where the parent or guardian is teaching you the Bible, teaching you the truths of God's Word, calling you to repent and believe, setting before you a godly, righteous model. Friend, there is great blessing in that, that you too will be delivered. And so, friend, that's just a small exhortation to both parents and children to take advantage of being brought up in a home where Christ is King. And parents, teach your children the Bible. Be diligent. Some parents are so diligent to take care of their children's physical needs and keep them from physical pain and physical harm and make sure they have enough food and make sure they have clothes and make sure they have a shelter and make sure they have a good school. All the while, all they're doing is making their child comfortable for hell forever. Friend, if you care that much about your child's physical needs, how much more ought you to be diligent about pouring the Word of God into them, teaching them about Christ, making them memorize Scripture. Until they're 18, you own them. They're in your house. They obey your rules. They come to church when you say, whether they like it or not. And you do that because you love them. You love their soul. You don't want them to go to hell. Parents, please don't think it's the job of the church to do this. Please, please be diligent to teach your children the Word of God, to pray with your children, to have them memorize Scripture. Please, God will hold you accountable. So let's be zealous as a church to train our children to trust and believe and know the Scripture. And in contrast to the righteous being delivered, righteousness delivering, we see in verse 6, but the treacherous are taken captive by their lusts. The treacherous are taken captive by their lusts. What does treacherous mean? It means unfaithful. It means deceitful. It means backstabbing. It means evil, wicked. They are taken captive by their lusts. They're slaves. They're slaves. They love their sin, and they can't give it up. They're a slave to it. That's the way the Bible describes sin, is that we're slaves to it. If we're wicked, we're slaves to sin. Romans 6, verses 16 through 18, the Spirit writes, "Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness." You see, that's the transition that happens when you go from being wicked to being righteous. You are a slave of wickedness. You love wickedness. All you can do is wickedness. And then God saves you. You believe on Christ. He fills you with His Spirit. And you become a slave of righteousness. You love righteousness. You love holiness. You desire to grow in righteousness. So we don't want to be like the treacherous. Pray that God would show you ways in which you're captive to your sin. Ask God. Ask God, Lord, where am I a slave to my own passions? Where am I a slave to my own desires? Friend, we are so easily deceived. We're so easily deceived. That's why the Bible says over and over again, be not deceived, be not deceived, be not deceived. And so we ought to go to the Lord. Lord, show me. God, show me where I'm a captive to my lusts, and free me, God. The wicked walk into the trouble intended for the righteous. Verse 8, 11:8. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and the wicked walks into it instead. I wonder if you can think of some examples in the Bible where this happens. You remember wicked Haman? Wicked Haman, the historical account of Esther, Queen Esther, and Haman hated Mordecai, and Haman plotted and how he could not only kill Mordecai, but all the Jews. And so Haman plotted and Haman, the king asked Haman, what should the king do for the, what should be done for the man whom the king delights to honor? And Haman thought the king was talking about him. And so he said all these wonderful things that he should do. But then the king was talking about Mordecai. You see, the righteous was blessed, and the wicked was cast out. Haman made a gallows, a large hangman's noose structure to hang Mordecai on. And what happened? Haman was hanged on that same gallows. He, the wicked, was destroyed. They switched places. What about another famous Old Testament story where places were switched, the righteous and the wicked? Daniel in the lion's den. Remember that one? Remember Daniel in the lion's den? Daniel was a leader in Babylon under King Darius, and there were these jealous rulers, and Daniel could do nothing wrong. And so the only thing that these rulers could find wrong with Daniel is pertaining to his religion, his commitment to God. And so they got the King Darius to make this decree that if anybody prays to anyone else except King Darius over the next 30 days, then they'll be cast into the lion's den. And Daniel heard the decree, and no, he didn't pray and hide. He went up to his chamber like he always did, with the doors open wide, and prayed just like he always did. And so these jealous rulers came and reported to the king. Daniel is praying to his God. And the king sort of liked Daniel. And he's sort of like, ah. Oh. But he made this edict, so he's got to follow through with it. And so he has Daniel thrown in the lion's den. But all night he can't sleep. He's hoping Daniel's okay. And the king goes there early in the morning to the lion's den. And what does he find? Daniel's okay. God sent an angel to shut the mouths of the lions. And so the furious king, what did he do? He took Daniel out and he took all those jealous rulers, those wicked leaders and their wives and their children, and threw them in the lion's den. And before they even got to the bottom, the Bible says all their bones were broken. Switch places. Whoop. Wicked and the righteous. See? That's what the proverb says. The righteous is delivered from trouble and the wicked walks into it instead. Righteousness pays. We also see in these Proverbs that you reap what you sow. Look at verses 18 through 19. Proverbs 11, 18 through 19. The wicked earns deceptive wages, but one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. Whoever is steadfast in righteousness will live, but he who pursues evil will die. You notice that? The wicked earns deceptive wages. You know sin is deceptive. Do you know that? Have you tasted that in your life? That sin is deceptive. I've said this before in this pulpit, but the most dangerous temptations to your soul are not those who are most readily and easily apparent. The most dangerous temptations to your soul will come as angels of light. They will look good. Just like the apple in the garden. It looked good to her. Good for food. Good, good. It looked good. That's how sin looks. It looks good. This will be good for you. This will help you. This will make you happy. This will make your life better. That's how sin works. It deceives you. The wicked earns deceptive wages. One commentator, Charles Bridges, talks about this in the life of Pharaoh. Remember Pharaoh in Egypt, he was afraid because all these Israelites, these Hebrews, were growing in population. And he was scared they're gonna grow and grow and grow and be this vast army and they'll be able to take over, and so we've got to stop them. We have to stop them from having all these children. And so he made a law that the midwives should look and see if it's a baby boy, and they should kill the baby boy. Do you remember what happened? The midwives feared God. Unlike so many today, the midwives feared God, and the Bible says that they increased. Pharaoh was deceived in thinking that this wicked plot would decrease the population. It actually increased the population. Deceptive wages. Sin doesn't pay. These proverbs just scream at us over and over again. Wickedness doesn't pay. Sin doesn't pay. In the end, you will be found out. In the end, it will be bad for you. You will reap what you sow. You'll reap what you sow. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. And yet for the righteous, there's good news. Verse 18, one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. One who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. I just want to give thanks to all of those of you in this congregation, the righteous ones who are sowing righteousness, sowing holiness, sowing love, sowing goodness within one another and at the church. You will get a sure reward. God's Word says that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Even if you're never thanked on this earth or see the fruit of your labor in this life, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. That's why we labor. Oh God, help me not labor for thanks. Help me not labor for the approval of men and people. Help me labor for my Jesus. Help me labor so that on that day I hear, enter into the joy of your Lord. That's what we want to hear. And it's sure for the righteous. It's a sure reward. It is sure you will have it. It's guaranteed. Whoever is steadfast in righteousness will live, but whoever pursues evil will die. Friend, it's sure. It's sure the righteous will live. The righteous will live. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever believes in me shall never die. If you believe in Jesus, you'll live because Jesus died and rose again. Yes. That is good news. But if you're wicked, friend, if you're wicked, you will die. Not only in this life, but you'll die forever. So flee. Why wouldn't you flee? Why wouldn't you flee to the resurrection of the life today? Come to Him today. Believe on Him today. Take Him as your all in all today and live. That's what He's saying today. Your desires will determine your end, these Proverbs teach us. Your desires will determine your end. Look at verse 23. The desire of the righteous ends only in good. The expectation of the wicked in wrath. The desire of the righteous ends only in good. Friend, what is the great desire of the righteous? What is the great desire of the righteous? Not to have a healthy church. Not to have it could be, but I'm saying ultimate. What's the ultimate desire of the righteous? More than any other desire. More than to have a healthy church. More than to see sinners saved. More than missions to be done. More than anything else. All those good things, yes, desire them. But what is the desire of the righteous more than anything else? God. Jesus. More than the good things and more than the bad. More than sin. We want God. The righteous wants God. Give me God more than anything else. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There's nothing on earth. Nothing on earth I desire besides thee, O God. The psalmist in Psalm 16:2, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. No good apart from you. That's the desire of the righteous. It ends only in good. Only in good. You're going to get good. It's going to be good for you. We were at a Bible study yesterday, and one of the brothers was asking, do you think there'll be roller coasters in heaven? And see, for him, roller coaster, I love roller coasters. There's fun. They bring me joy. I can't imagine a fun place, a good place without roller coasters. And you know, I've had thoughts like that too, because I wanted to be a fighter pilot. I wanted to fly those jets in the Navy, F-18s, F-14s, the new ATF fighter. I wanted to do that, and I think that'd be amazing. But the way that I reconcile that in my head is, there may not be fighter jets in heaven. There may not be roller coasters in heaven, but that joy that you get from whatever it is that you imagine and desire, God will fulfill that desire beyond your greatest dreams. So you won't miss out. All I'm trying to say is you won't miss out. You think you miss out because you don't have this, you don't have that, you don't get that, you don't experience that. You won't miss out. You won't. It's going to be amazing. And God will satisfy your every desire. The desire of the righteous ends only in good. But the expectation of the wicked in wrath. Again, God is giving us the carrot and the stick. The carrot and the stick. The expectation of the wicked it ends in wrath. Sometimes people say that people don't experience the wrath of God or hell because of sin, but because they fail to believe in Jesus. That's not true. Just want to put that out there for you. That's not true. We experience the wrath of God because of our sin. Jesus would save us from that wrath. And it is a great sin not to believe in Jesus. But we will experience the wrath of God because of our sin if we don't have Jesus. I'll give you one witness. Can I get a witness? Colossians 3, 5, and 6. Colossians 3, 5, and 6 teaches us that the wrath of God is coming because of our sin. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. This is an exhortation to believers. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. On account of these, on account of sexual immorality and impurity and passion and evil desire and covetousness and idolatry, on account of these, the wrath of God is coming. The expectation of the wicked. These are their expectations. They dream about sexual immorality and impurity and passion and evil desire and covetousness and idolatry. This is the expectation of the wicked, but it ends only in wrath. And that's what the Spirit says in Colossians 3, 6. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. And so flee. Flee from sin and flee to Christ. And finally, the wicked will most certainly be punished. These Proverbs teach that the wicked will most certainly be punished. Verses 21 and 31, be assured an evil person will not go unpunished. 31, if the righteous is repaid on earth, how much more the wicked and the sinner? Friend, if you're here this morning and you've experienced suffering and pain, injustices in your life, first, listen to last week's sermon. You're struggling. You're struggling because you have been so hurt. You have been so hurt. You've been so abused. You have taken things that are unspeakable from other people who've done wickedly and evil to you. Listen to last week's sermon. And be assured from this week, the wicked will not go unpunished. They will not escape the justice of our God. Be assured an evil person will not go unpunished. If the righteous is repaid on earth, how much more the wicked and the sinner? Now that last proverb, let's think about that. If the righteous is repaid on earth, how much more the wicked and the sinner? Can you think of the righteous who were repaid on earth? Remember Moses? Great man of God. Righteous. He's in the righteous category. But do you remember what he did? And he couldn't enter the promised land? He struck the rock, right? When God told him to speak to the rock. He disobeyed the Lord and he was punished for it. So this proverb is saying, if Moses is not going to escape, you're not going to escape, wicked man. If not even Moses, the righteous, holy, godly Moses, is going to encounter punishment on this earth for his sin, friend, the wicked will not escape in the age to come. They will not escape. And David is another example. Man after God's own heart, righteous man. But he had a great fall, a great sin, right? He committed adultery with Bathsheba. He had Bathsheba's husband killed. And God said, your sins are forgiven. But there were consequences for his sin. He did not escape God's punishment. And the baby that he conceived with Bathsheba died. And his house was in turmoil the rest of his life. Rebellion from Absalom. So if righteous David won't escape God's punishment, how much more would the wicked not escape? Friend, the wicked will get what's due them. They will. And the good news for us, the righteous, like David and Moses, God's punishment like that, God's discipline, is loving. It's loving. It's good. It's not condemning. You know who was on the Mount Transfiguration with Jesus? Moses. Moses' punishment, David's punishment, was because God loved them and chastened them as sons. But the wicked, friend, they will not go unpunished. There will be no mercy for the wicked on the day of God's wrath. There will be no pleadings for mercy. There may be pleadings for mercy, but God will not hear on that day. He will not hear on that day. There's no such thing as purgatory. There's no such thing as working your sins off after death. The Bible says it's appointed for man once to die, and then comes judgment. And friend, those of you who are here who are in the wicked category, that's why it's so important that today you flee to Jesus. Today you flee to Christ and believe on Him and get in the righteous category. Jesus is the one who delivers. And one of the most exciting things that I do as I preach through these Proverbs is I read through them and think, okay, where's Jesus here? How is Jesus here? How do I see Jesus in these Proverbs? And you can go through them one by one and just see Jesus. He jumps out at you. Jesus' righteousness was the most upright of the upright. But He did not deliver him. It did not deliver him. His righteousness did not deliver him. He allowed the lust of the treacherous to take over. He allowed the lust of the treacherous to take him captive and crucify him. And yet his righteousness did deliver him because he rose up from the dead. God's yea and amen over Christ's sacrifice that he is the righteous, sinless one. Jesus is the perfectly righteous, blameless one who kept his way perfectly straight. No straightness like Jesus' straightness. Yet on that cross, he fell. He fell. Not because of his own wickedness, but because of your wickedness and my wickedness. He took our fall. Jesus took the deceptive wages of sin and death upon himself so that we might get the sure reward in heaven that he earned on that cross. Though we have pursued evil and death, Jesus was steadfast in righteousness and died and rose again that we might live forever. Jesus was counted as the evil person that would not go unpunished so that we might be God's offspring and live with Him forever. Jesus is the desire of the righteous. He delivers from the wrath to come, and He alone can satisfy your soul. Jesus will come back one day. Oh, yes, He will. He will come back one day. And the way the Bible describes Him coming back, not meek and lowly riding on a donkey. No, He's coming back as a general on a white war horse with a flaming fire coming out of His eyes and a double-edged sword coming out of His mouth. And the Bible says that the wicked will cry out for rocks and mountains to fall on them to shield them from the wrath of the Lamb. That's how our King's coming back. And for those who are righteous, we're going to be going, yes, come Lord, come, crush, bring vengeance. Praise Jesus. That's how it will be. But friend, for those of you who are wicked, that is not a thing to cheer about. It is a sight and a memory to tremble over. To tremble that you might be one of those that would call for mountains and rocks to fall on you. Friend, come. Come to Christ. Come to Him today. Believe on Him. Turn from wickedness. Turn from sin. And believe in Jesus and be saved. Jesus only and always did what's right. He's righteous. He's blameless. He's perfect light. Yet He would perish in the fight, delivered over to death's bite. But righteous, He would live to smite the wicked death and make all things right. So trust in Him with all His might. In righteousness, you will more and more delight. Let's pray. Father, we beg You, God, Lord, we want to learn from this wisdom You've poured out on us today. God, we want to be among the righteous. We want to flee from wickedness. And so, Lord, we pray You would help us put these Proverbs into practice in our lives, that You would use this word to move us to flee from sin and evil, to love and live out righteousness. Father, if there's anyone among us today who is in the wicked category, God, we pray they would change teams today. We pray they would change teams today and become righteous in Christ and begin to live righteous deeds wrought by the Holy Spirit. And so, God, work today, we pray. And we thank You, Father. We thank You. Those of us who are righteous, You promise, through all temptations, through all pains, through sufferings, through hardships, You will hold us fast and keep us righteous until the end. Thank You, Father, for Jesus' sake. Amen.